Father God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for such an evening that you've given us to minister to your people. Indeed, let it not come as from me, but let it come as from you. That, Lord, it is you that knows your church. It is you that has purposed to build it, and that you have continued to do it for your glory, O God, until the nations will know, until the nations will hear that indeed this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. I pray that I may be just a vessel that you can use, a mouthpiece for your glory. I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to share something small, more of like a study, and we're going to read Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to, just on a topic, I will build my church. And just to read Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read from verse 13 up to verse 20. The Bible says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, or you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. You see, when you think about the church, we must understand that God would have left a family. You see, when Adam was made, he gave him a family. But you see, God's design, God's purpose through Christ was to establish an institution, an organism, a structure that was supposed to take the kingdom to the ends of the earth. He started with just 12 people, 12 disciples who he walked with. Yes, there were the crowd, there was the 72, but he poured himself out to 12 people. And that is all he spent his 3.5 years on. And these 12 individuals are the ones who have brought the 1 billion Christians that we have in the world today. Over 1 billion Christians in the world today, just from 12. But you will ask yourself, why is it so important that he said, I will build my church? And just to take us back to the background, is that Jesus was walking with his disciples, and he comes to the region of Caesarea Philippi. Now that place is called Caesarea Philippi because the Caesar at that time, his name was Philippi, and he was actually a civil engineer. So he was into buildings. So there was a lot of constructions that were taking place. So you can picture yourself, you're moving through and you're seeing all these buildings that are taking place, all these stones, all these structures, whether they use cement, sand, all is around. And as they are there, Jesus now sees this is the right time that I want to introduce to you what it is that I am building. Because they can see the stones, they can see the buildings coming up. And he asks them the question, what do people say the Son of Man is? And so he's asking them, but what are people saying about me? You know, it's good to get feedback as well. Huh? You know, after you've been there for 1 year, 2 years, ask, what do the people say? Jesus asked for feedback. And the feedback comes, oh, some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are the prophet. Others say you are Elijah. But then he asked them a question, because by now he expects that someone should have come to the revelation of who he is. And then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And when that question is asked, it moves away from the crowd. It gets to a personal revelation. If Christ is going to be preached in this nation, if we are going to be effective leaders, it will have to start with a personal revelation of who Jesus is. So the foundation that by which he was asking, who do you say that I am? Then says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Now when he says that, you need to ask yourself, so is it Peter that is the rock or it is the revelation? Because Peter was able to pinpoint the revelation that Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you can look at it in three aspects there. Number one is that Jesus is the Christ. That means that he is the anointed king. When they said the Messiah, the Jews were waiting for the king. All through the prophecy, they were told, someone will come, the Son of David will come, he's going to rule forever, he's going to be king. They are under Roman rulership. They are tied. They are basically slaves. Yes, they have some form of freedom. And that is why they were looking for people who would cause riots, like Barabbas, the one who was freed in the place of Jesus. They were looking for a physical ruler. But the kind of kingdom that he was bringing was one that is from above. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. So we must understand that first and foremost that Jesus is the Christ. He is the King. Number two that comes out there that he is the Son of the living God. You know, when we say son, we don't mean child. Because many times people think that, oh, Son of God means child of God. And that means to someone or to many people in the world, okay, where is the father? Where is the mother? And these are conversations I believe you will have every day. But you see, Son of God meant God in human form. When the Gentiles will hear that, they will say that the Son of God have come, or the gods have come in human flesh, to them they knew that the gods would visit them as human beings. And so when he says that you are the Son of the living God, is basically Peter coming to the revelation that Jesus is not just a man, but he is actually Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Son of the living God. And if you break it further, you will see that there are many gods in the world. In fact, the Bible says there are many gods and there are many lords. But there is only one living God.
Amen.
Now, do you believe that you worship the living God? Do you believe that everything that Jesus has said concerning himself is truth? So when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, do you believe there is no other way apart from him? And if we believe that, does it pain us that 97% of our country are not following the right way? Does it pain us that all our brothers and sisters, those who don't know the Lord Jesus, are all going to hell? It's a reality. We walk with them, we sit with them in the office. Yes, they will resist. But the sad reality is they're ending up in hell because they have not believed in the living God. The people who are worshipping, sacrificing to idols, and they think that these things that they have created themselves will give them life. But Jesus is the Son of the living God.
Amen.
So the foundation by which we become believers, first of all, then we can build the church, is on the foundation that Jesus is the Christ, he is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, and then he is the Son of the living God. That means he is God. Then the second aspect that he says to them is that, on this that you have understood that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And he says then, I will build my church. Now, he does not say that you will build a church. He does not say that the church belongs to this denomination. He does not say that the church belongs to the archbishop or to the senior pastor. He says that the church belongs to Jesus. I know everyone goes like, oh yeah, you started the church. No, I didn't start it. The church belongs to Jesus. He is the founder. He is the one that shed his blood for it. He paid the ultimate price for the church, sacrificing himself for the church. And if you can think about it, he died naked for you and me. He gave himself freely. No one could take his life, but he laid down his life for us to become the sacrifice that can wash away our sins, that can purify us, that can give us access to the Father. It is he that says that I will build my church. Now, because he says that he will build it, churches come from God giving permission, to leaders that it is time for you to plant. I tell you, a church is not a shop that you will just open as you wish. Try it. You will realize you will close. Churches are built with God placing his burden on people. Those that have the heart for Jesus, there is a burden that he will place on you. Maybe you're comfortable in Dhaka, yes, because we have everything around here. But is there a place that you walk to? Is there a village that you visit and there is a burden in your heart that God tells you, why don't we do something? Why is there no church here? That's the burden I had when I came to Cox's. But I was like, but why? In every place on the earth, there must be a witness for Jesus.
Amen.
And when that burden comes and is whispered to your heart, to your ear, and you hear it, take time to pray. Because God partners with men to build a church. He has a specific pattern. That's why he told them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means if you want to build a church, the pattern is discipleship. What did Jesus do? He lived with them. He taught them. He showed them. He empowered them. Then he sent them. If our members cannot do what we are doing, then we are not being effective. There must not be a separation between the pulpit and the body. No. We go to Ephesians 4, it says that he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. The work of ministry is not even really for the fivefold ministers. The work of ministry is for the saints. It is the believers who are to do the work of ministry. Now, we must equip them. It's not everyone that will have the chance to go to a Bible school. But anyone that sits under a pastor for 3.5 years should be able to be sent. If the pastors are doing their job, if the leaders are doing their job, and building according to the pattern of Christ, then we make disciples. Disciples are not born, they are made. That means it's a painful process. It's a process where you will be discouraged. Others will start the journey and they will leave. Others will walk with you and they will split the church. That is part of the journey. But churches are built by Jesus through the partnership with men. And God does not use great men. He uses any available man. You see, is it Isaiah? In Isaiah chapter 6, he was a prophet. For sure he was a prophet. He had done 5 chapters of Isaiah. All strong prophecies. But one day he happens to stumble into heaven. And he sees this vision of God. And all the angels crying out, "Holy, holy." Then he looked at himself and he saw how unclean he is. And he said, "I am an unclean man with unclean lips. And I live among a people of uncleanness." And the angel took the tongues of fire, placed it on his mouth, cleansed him. And then he had something. He had, "Who shall go for us? Whom shall I send?" This is the cry in heaven. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send to Sylhet? Whom shall I send to Cox's Bazar? Whom shall I send to Bangkok, to all the nations? Whom shall I send to Canada? Yes, I know many people will lift their hands. They can go to Canada. But how about the villages? Who will listen to those who don't understand English? Those who only know the local dialect? Whom shall I send? Then he answered, "Here I am. Send me." The man shifted from 5 chapters to 66 chapters. Just because of saying yes. There are gifts that you're waiting for God to have before you move, are just waiting for you to say yes. That insight, that spirit of wisdom and revelation, those miracles that you want to see before you become that great evangelist, are waiting for you to just step out. He says, "I will build my church." The third aspect of that, he says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail." He's telling us that whether you like it or not, we are in a warfare. We are in a warfare for souls. We are in a warfare for the gates of hell, to depopulate hell and to bring people into the kingdom of God. He says he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his son that he loves. That means that there is a kingdom that has held people captive. You think it's a religion? No, it's a kingdom. It's a system that the devil has blinded their eyes. They will only see the light of the gospel when they hear from you. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail. That is telling you something, that, you know what? I have fought the victory. I can assure you the victory is yours. Go. Don't worry. He says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Those keys that you want, those things that you feel are necessary. The Bible says the worker is worth his keep. My cry out to you today is, as servants of God, are you just comfortable? Have you been sitting on the call of God? Is God calling you to move? Is God calling you to break the barriers? To say, "Here I am, I'm ready to go." When you serve Jesus, it's not a job. I know many people think it's a job, "Oh, I'm employed." It's not an employment. If you get a salary, well, glory to God. But it's not. It's purpose. It's life. It's a lifelong commitment to be an ambassador for Christ. Let us close our eyes and pray. Just take a moment and reflect on the word that has come. I don't know what God has been speaking, what God has laid in your heart. What is the burden that has been in your heart? Is it for young people? Is it for the elderly? Is it for the mothers? Is it a small town? Is it a village? What has been stopping you? Is it fear of the unknown? 11 disciples chose not to walk on water, but one said, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come." And Jesus today is here saying, if you want to come, come. come to the waters and drink. He asks, who is willing to go for me? If you're there and you're saying, here I am, send me. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will empower you. I will strengthen you. I will protect you. I will go before you. That which men think they have, you shall have even more. Why? Because you are my child. And Father, I thank you for your children. I thank you for your word that has come before us, that you are the builder of the church. And I thank you for your servants that are here, them that have heeded the call to serve you, O God. I pray for an outpouring of your spirit upon them, O God. I pray for their ears to be open, to hear your voice, to be sensitive to your spirit. I pray for a willingness to obey, to be available, to be sent, to serve you, to be vessels of honor. Protect and preserve this church. Protect and preserve the leaders. Give us vision. Lead us in what you want us to do. May revival sweep this land. May revival sweep this nation. But we continue to experience the presence and power of God in our lives for the praise and glory of your holy name. Father, your children are here. May you fill them and fill them afresh with a fire, with a zeal, with a commitment for you, to the praise and honor of your holy name. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.